This morning we're going to look to see in the book of John where Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Many times when Jesus has his I am statements, they're sort of within the context of an event that's happening. Last week we saw that when Jesus said, I am the bread of life, that happened in the context of after the feeding of the 5,000, and then it was the next day they were looking for more food. I still think it's something that Jesus is teaching us, that the next day when that same group that he fed gets in the boats and hunts him down again, and he even knows, he even tells them, you came after me because I fed you yesterday. He didn't feed them the second day. Pointing to us that the bread of heaven isn't something that spoils. But in this context, Jesus is going along, and then all of a sudden, John 8:12, and John tells it this way, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. One of the things we need to understand that Jesus is claiming here when he says this is that he is God. You just don't say, I am the light of the world. And all the speech that he's going to give us about darkness. There's so much that goes into this. I was telling first service, this is one of those messages that I kind of feel bad because I got so much out of it studying the light and what God's doing through the light that I can't begin to give you all. And then also there's something else I recognize about myself. And this may be true of you, and my family's here to say, yes, we agree. Sometimes when something really sparks my interest, it doesn't spark the interest of others. Have you ever been there? I'll come up and I'll tell them about something that I thought was really cool, and here's what I get. Oh, nice. Well, I'm a little afraid that's what this morning's sermon is. So if you don't enjoy it, at least I will, and so there we go. But it's amazing what is going on in Scripture as Jesus makes this claim, I am the light of the world. So let's go back and see the importance of what light is. And in Genesis chapter 1, at the very beginning, God's creating this world. The first thing, after he's put a little form to it, says the first thing, number one, that God created was light. Here's what he says. Now the earth was formless and empty. That's this place. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God, there's part of the Trinity, was hovering over the waters. And God said, first thing he does, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. The importance of light is it is the very first thing God puts in place. Now, follow me for a minute here. We're gonna navigate some thoughts here that might put some of you to sleep. It's one of those, oh, that's nice. But follow me for a minute here. We know from what Scripture teaches us, and we know from what the prophets say about time before this earth began. We know very little, but one of the things we know is that Satan was Lucifer. And he and a third of the angels before man was created, rebelled against God, and God then threw him out of heaven. Now, here's something to remember. Lucifer's name was the Angel of Light. I don't think this is any small thing. The Angel of Light. God now removes him from heaven, which means he is no longer light. He has forfeited the light. So now he's banished from heaven, and what we learn through Scripture, and I don't have all the answers to this, but as far as timing and place and all that, but what we've learned through Scripture is that he is now in a place that we have identified as hell, which is the removal from God's presence, which therefore means it is darkness. So the only place light exists is heaven. And the reason that that's the only place that light exists is because God, and we'll see this, is light. So there's no other life without light. So the first thing he gave this world when he created it was himself. He gave light because he is the source of light. And he sees the light, and he sees the darkness, and he calls the light good. That's what he gave us. Now, as we think of the importance of light and everything, I thought our church every April hosts a luncheon here for the Association of the Blind. It's a ministry that we've had. We enjoy doing it. They come in. It's a nice partnership. And I was thinking to myself this week as I was studying and putting some notes and thoughts together, I thought, now, wait a minute. There's a group of people that survive without light. Now, oh, no, they don't. They may not be able to see, but they need the sun every bit as much as you and I need the sun. Because without the sun, they don't eat. Without the light of day, they don't function, even though they're in darkness, because we function in the light of day, and they need what others who have sight have to function. So even those who are blind need light. For the cows to milk and for the vegetables to grow, they need light. Now, lest you think I'm a genius, I know that boat sailed a long time ago. You've learned by now your pastor is no scientist. My worst grades in school were always science. Didn't like science, don't understand science, no good at science. But I began to think, that's always dangerous. What about these creatures that I see on Discovery Channel that are so far down in the bottom of the ocean they never see the light of day? And what about these creatures back in caves that they're made and they never see the light of day? So I started thinking, no, wait a minute, there is life out there without light. And I began to, so I researched this. So you can tell it was a banner week in the church office this week. So I'm researching this, and I realize and I learn that even though these organisms may never see the light of day, they are dependent upon other organisms that do. And so they need light because these other organisms kind of provide what they need within the food chain and the whole ecosystem. And so without light, nothing exists. I remember when I was a kid, they predicted, I don't know who it was, when the sun was going to burn out. Somebody must have flown to the sun and tested it or something. But they predicted, I don't know how they know some of this stuff. I'm not sure if they do, but, you know, that's okay. They predicted when the sun was going to burn out. And I remember as a kid looking and seeing how many millions, good, at least it's not happening on my watch. Because what they described when the sun burned out was death. There is no life without light. And the first thing God gave us was light. And now Jesus shows up on the scene and says, I am the light of the world. But John, in his gospel, before he ever gets to Jesus' adulthood, John gives his own version of creation. John comes down and in his letter that he writes, his gospel that he writes to us that we're reading from this morning, he begins his gospel by saying, in the beginning. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? In the beginning. Genesis says, in the beginning. John says, in the beginning was the Word. Word, what in the world does the Word have to do with the planet? So he says, in the beginning was the Word, but then he says this, and the Word was God. So John's saying, in the beginning was God. And then here's what John goes on to say. Through Him, this is, well, the Word's actually more than God. It's Jesus Himself as God. So through Him, John says, this is Jesus, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. So the stuff you and I create and make is because God made it, and then we can form it and make it into chairs and cars and things because it's all resources He's given us in the first place. Verse 4. In Him was life. And here it says, and that life was the light of all mankind. This is John's version of creation. And then here he says this, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, think about light and darkness, and a dark, dark night. And how little light it actually takes to see in the darkest of night. I had a neighbor one time was moving out of the city, he said. Moving out of the city. Why are you moving out of the city? Too much light. He loved stars. He goes, I'm moving out into the country. And so he went and bought this beautiful place in the country. Things were great. It was gorgeous. At night, you could see the sky just like he wanted, not all the lights of the city. 3 months later, he gets a new neighbor, moves into him next out in the city. First thing the guy does, put up two dusk to dawn lights. That's a big sky, man. That is a big sky. I was amazed, because I was out there before the lights, and I was out there after the lights. I was amazed about how much those dusk to dawn lights on this man's barn changed what we could see. Because light shines, and the darkness is not greater than light. It's not. Never has been. There could be pitch black, somebody light a match, and we would all see it in this room. And even if they put it behind their hand, we'd still see the glow. Because darkness is not more powerful than light. And Scripture tells us that it cannot overcome light. So Jesus shows up and He tells us, He says, well, I am that light. And so we realize that He says, I am that light. That is a super, super big claim. Remember this. Jesus is the Word that John speaks about earlier in his gospel. And He is the light. Now, we use light for several things, but there's two main things that we need light for. First of all, it shows us the way. Got a flashlight. The reason you need a flashlight is because you can't see any around. So you got a flashlight because the flashlight shows you the way. You go into a dark room, you turn on the light. Why? Because you don't want to stub your toe. Because we've all stubbed our toe in the middle of the night, and that's right next to, I don't know, that I was going to say childbirth, but I know all the ladies would just stone me. So stubbing your toe in the middle of the night is right next to whatever pain is the worst for you. I mean, it's awful. You know, you think you're dying. It is just a toe. So the next time you turn on the light, so it doesn't happen again. The light shows us the way. But here's something else light does. Light exposes the darkness. Last week in our family discipleship class, we talked to the kids about fear, and it was kind of funny in the room. Four out of five dentists, four out of five kids said that their biggest fear was dark. They're afraid of the dark. So I said, well, why are you afraid of the dark? I can't see what's there. Duh. One of the kids said, well, because things don't look right. We've all had the experience of thinking something's over there in the corner, thinking, what in the world is that? And then we turn on the light and realize, oh yeah, it's just my jacket on the back of a chair, or, you know, a limb from outside, or something of that nature. The light didn't expose it. I was, I got to tell you a story. I'm not real, well, I'm kind of proud of it, but it was not a real, it was funny, but it wasn't. I'm in Africa and we're on a safari. We just finished our mission trip, and so a group of us went on a safari. And I'm with my friend from Ireland, and there's one of the ladies on the safari. She's by herself, and they all team us up in rooms, and we stay in these tents. Don't worry, it's not roughing it like you think. They're rather fancy tents. So we stay in these tents, and her name was Carolyn. And so Carolyn was the only one that was there by herself. She had a tent all to herself. And the friend that I was with, he said, let's scare Carolyn. Why not? We take a limb and we throw it on top of Carolyn's tent. Because, you know, we're out in the middle of the savannah. It's a safari. So every little noise spooks Carolyn because she's in this tent by herself. So she turns the light on in the tent, and the shadow shows this limb on her tent. And that's all she sees. Well, she thought it was a snake. It looked like that. It looked like a snake. So in the shadows, it looked like a snake. So the next morning, we get up, and we said, Carolyn, how was your night? And in her Irish brogue, she goes, it was awful. I had a horrible night's sleep. There was a snake on my tent, and it didn't move all night long. Now we're feeling really guilty. And we said, she goes, I didn't know that it was just a limb that fell from the tree. And we're like, yeah, it fell from the tree. A limb that fell from the tree. And I didn't know that until I could see it in the morning sunlight. Ah. It exposed something that wasn't real. That's what light does. It exposes and makes things clear. Okay. Well, now that makes sense. Oh, it's just my jacket on the chair. Oh, it's just a branch on the tent. Okay. But Paul tells us something else about light and darkness. Paul tells us that there are some who like darkness because they don't want exposed. So the fact that the light exposes what's in the dark is not good news for some. Because it may reveal what they don't want revealed. But friends, that's what the light does. He comes into our lives to overcome the darkness and what's in it. He comes to point the light on the shadows. Shadows are important in art. Art uses shadows, and we use lighting and performances and the way television and film works. They work hard to make sure with all their umbrellas and everything to make sure that there's no shadows there that they don't want. Do you know how to make a shadow go away? Turn up the light. Shine the light differently. So if this light over here is making a shadow, then I'm going to put another light over here to shine down. So I'm minimizing, if not totally eliminating, the shadows. Friends, that's what Jesus Christ wants to do with the sin in your life. He doesn't want to expose it so that you're embarrassed and we drag it through the newspapers or we drag it through the church. He wants to expose it because light brings life. And the more light I receive, the fewer shadows in my life. And friends, if John then tells me that his word is light, and we see that in the psalmist says, "Thy word is a light unto my path, a lamp unto my feet." We see that unfold through God's word. Jesus is the word. So friends, the more of God's word you get, the more light you have. If it's dim in your life, I'll be a little harsh here, it's your own fault. Because He's given us the light. And His word is light. And so the more I have of His word, the more light I have. And it shines bright. And I pray it's as the parable that Jesus said that we learned when we were kids, hide it under a bush. No! He says He wants His light to be like up on a hill. He wants it to shine for everyone to see. I'm not like this saying, oh, that's a really cool thing Jesus taught me. No, I want it to shine. Jesus is the light. This is His claim to be God. Because, friends, here's part of the claim. We're claiming to be the light is the claim to be God. Here's part of the truth of that. Only God is without darkness. One of the things we learn from God's word and from the way in which it all unfolds is heaven doesn't need our sun. Because God is the light. He's enough. He provides it all. The warmth, the beauty, the light, everything that light gives, God is the light. He is sufficient. So when this angel of light, Lucifer, rebelled against God, the light was removed from him. Jesus goes on in chapter 8 and says something. Claiming to be God. Claiming to be light is claiming to be God. And here's what Jesus says in John 8. Now I've highlighted two words here and I'm going to tell you why. Jesus says this, I told you that you would die in your sins if, this is why it's good news, because there's an if you do not believe that I am, you will indeed die in your sins. So there's a way not to die in your sins. It's to believe in Him. Now, the reason I highlighted the two words I am there, if you go and look in your own Bible and in your English translation, some of you may see that it says I am He. And the word He is in italics. Now, let me just, not to put you to sleep, but let me just tell you something. Oftentimes in your English translations, when you see the word in italics, it's not in the original language, but it's put in there so that our grammar makes sense. So it's put in there to help us understand it. This is one of those times where they've put the word He in after the word I am, and they shouldn't have. Because Jesus isn't claiming to be I am He. Remember the name of God? The name of God is I Am. That's His name. So read it in that way. I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am, period. We will die in our sins if we do not believe that Jesus Christ is the I Am. He's God. God sent Him as His Son. As the Son of the I Am, He is I Am. And so the logic begins to unfold for us that light equals life. Darkness equals sin. In Romans, as many of other places in Scripture tells us that sin equals death. Friends, the only way out of the darkness is the I Am. We think it's in our world today, but let me tell you something. This has been in the world ever since Adam and Eve fell and sin has been in the world. We begin to think that something other than God will solve what we need. So ever since we've separated ourselves from God, we've tried to find things other than God to solve our need. Now it's to the point that we're in a country and we're in a culture where people think, well, if you can take a little bit of this, you can take a little bit of that, and it doesn't have to be Jesus and it doesn't have to be this. Friends, that's not what God's Word says. Jesus says, if you do not want to die in your sins, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. There is no other way out of darkness than through the light. No other way. And you think, boy, that might feel bigoted or exclusive. No, friends, it's the most inclusive thing we could say because Jesus shines the light for everyone. There are some people, you may not know them, I may not know them, or you might know them. They're in really, really deep, dark, dark places. They may be in dark places of addiction. They may be in dark places of lack of revelation. They may be in dark places because nobody in that place knows Jesus or acts like they want to know Jesus. And we see all this darkness around us. And we can get defeated and think, oh my, it's just too dark. It's just too dark. You don't know how dark his life is. You don't know how dark her life is. You don't know how dark my life is. It doesn't matter. Scripture's promised me the light has overcome. And friends, that's good news. This is not exclusive bigotry. This is good news that all are welcome to Jesus Christ because He is the light. And it is His will that none should perish. He doesn't want anyone in darkness. What a God. And then John, who writes this about Jesus, John unfolds all this in his gospel, goes on later, and he writes three short little letters. And in the first letter that John writes, in 1 John 1, 5 through 7, here's what John goes on to say about the light. And he says this because he loves us and we need to hear it. He says, "This is the message we have heard from Him." He's referring to Jesus. "And we declare now to you," and here's what he says, "God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all." And then we need to hear verse 6. "If we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth." Because darkness cannot exist where there's light. And we're lying if we think it can. And unfortunately, friends, the lie we tell all too often is to ourselves, thinking that we're okay in the dark. And Jesus is saying, no, come to the light. And thank the Lord, John doesn't leave us there in the lie of darkness. But he goes on and he says this, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another." And then, friends, maybe the most beautiful words in all of Scripture, "And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin." That is purifying us from the darkness. And the reason John can say that is because Jesus' blood covers my sins, and he rose from the dead and brought me, Todd Eckhart, this dark, lost soul. He brought me light. He brought me light. I don't think there's any small accident that the resurrection of Jesus happened at the breaking of dawn as the light brought a new day. Because the light of God's Son now shines in victory over the redemption of sin. And Jesus fulfills his claim, "I am the light of the world." So it's really pretty simple. Took 30 minutes to say what could have been said in 30 seconds. Are you in the light? Because if you're in darkness and you're acting like you're in the light, you're only hurting yourself. So, Jesus invites you, come to the light. We sang that chorus, "Shine, Jesus, shine." My prayer this morning is not for him, as the song says, to fill the nations. My prayer this morning is for him to fill you. Let his light shine in your life. Repent, be forgiven of your sins, and he will shine. Let's stand and close in prayer. Lord, I thank you for your grace and your strength. I thank you for what you helped me learn this week. I thank you for what you've helped us as a congregation. If there's anyone here this morning that's tired of the darkness, I pray that in the quietness of this moment, they would just simply pray, "Lord, forgive me and be my light." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.